is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP, blah, 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 blah. You know, I really think that we might have to stop doing these improv intros because as much fun as they are, it's getting hard to think of ones.
Yeah.
So, maybe we should solicit listeners to, you know, contribute things like the show that, whatever, what do you think the show does?
Yeah.
You should contribute.
You tell us. What the hell does the show do?
Because otherwise we're going to have to do a canned intro. I'd really rather not do that because that's boring.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, but at the same time, it kind of takes the pressure off of us to, think and do stuff.
I guess. So if you have an idea of how you would describe this show, string together a few adjectives and, you know, we can use that in an introduction.
Yes.
Anyway, it's June 21st, which is officially the first day of summer, and we're sitting up here on the roof of our apartment building.
I'm drinking a beer.
We're overlooking the city lights and all that good stuff.
So what do we want to talk about today? We've got like a whole itinerary here.
We do. First, the fact that soon there will be a stripper pole in our apartment.
Uh-huh.
And Rusty's been working hard on getting that prepared to install, which he'll tell you about in a minute. But I'm just very excited because I ordered the pole about a week ago. They said it'll take about 2 weeks to get here because they didn't have one that was that big. So we have pretty high ceilings. I ordered a brass one, which is like the strip club standard and also what we use in my classes. And this is just very, very, very exciting to me because I started taking pole dancing actually almost exactly a year ago. I think it was like June 28th or something, mm-hmm. 2006. And so who knew a year later I would actually have my own pole? For months I've been wanting my own pole, and now I'm finally getting one.
I just tonight finished mounting the bracket into the ceiling, which, let me tell you a little bit about mounting things in masonry. It's kind of hard. Masonry, concrete and brick is a lot more difficult to work with than is drywall or wood or in many other surfaces that one typically deals with when one is mounting things. Usually when you buy, I'll tell you some of the things we've done. We've built a whole closet, which I have a video up on YouTube of us building the closet. I had to mount that in the brick that's upstairs in our bedroom. And then after that, a couple months later, we ended up, my mom made us some massive curtains, and I had to mount the curtain rods for those, and that was into concrete. And then finally, now I'm mounting Amber's stripper pole, which was also drilling into really hard concrete. Now, the thing that the people who sold us the closet at the Container Store did really well was they pick out different brackets depending on what kind of material. That makes me realize that much more how professional those folks over at the Container Store are, because when you buy curtain rods like we did recently, the mounting brackets that come with them are not meant for concrete. They're meant for wood and drywall, and there's a substantial difference. I'm not going to get into a lengthy discussion about all the different types of masonry anchors because it's not really important. The important thing is that you buy masonry anchors to mount things in concrete, and that you just know a few basic things about mounting in concrete. I'll give you the one example that I have of actually me doing it right versus doing it wrong, as I did with the curtains. Mounting Amber stripper poles, we use what's called a wedge anchor. The way that works is you hammer it into the concrete, and it has kind of a wedge. You have to drill holes first when you do that. And once you have it hammered into the concrete, then you tighten a nut around it and it makes it expand on the inside of the concrete, and that secures it. Some of the mistakes I made while trying to do this was I tried to just drill a tiny little pilot hole into the concrete and then go right from the pilot, that little teeny tiny pilot hole, all the way up to the big bad Mamma Jamma 3/8 bit, which is a pretty big bit. It's about the size of a finger, almost. And let me tell you, that didn't work out. I was sore for like 3 days, and I didn't even totally finish it. There were four holes I had to drill for this mounting bracket, and I got all the way with two of them, but then the other two of them, I didn't get all the way in. So I've got some tips that I wrote down about dealing with masonry. I've got three tips, some of which this information I've already shared. So yeah, tip number one is the mount that came with your curtains, with your curtain rods, I should say, probably isn't the right mount to mount in concrete. My number two tip for dealing with masonry is drill holes progressively. Start out with the 1/8 bit, and then move up one bit, and then move up one bit, and then move up one bit until your hole is drilled, rather than trying to start off with a small one and going all the way with it. And then my third tip, and this is the thing I haven't mentioned yet, is use a rubber mallet if you're hammering in wedge anchors into concrete, because one of the things that slowed this whole process down is I used a regular old nail hammer to try to secure these wedge anchors in the concrete, and I bashed the shit out of them and smushed the ends of it so I couldn't even get the nuts around them. I had to get a Dremel grinder and grind the things down before I could even get the nuts on. So those are my tips for dealing with concrete masonry.
Thank you, Rusty, for sharing your tips.
Thank you.
Rusty has become quite the handyman, and it's very exciting. I mean, I'm glad that he's learning about all this stuff, and I would actually like to learn about all this stuff, too. And, you know, I mean, I have been learning about it secondhand, mm-hmm. but I'd like to do some of it, but he's been doing such a good job that I haven't wanted to get in the way. So, I don't know, maybe one day we'll live in, like, a really big house.
I'll be happy to let you mount some of this stuff.
And then I can mount stuff next time, yeah. Because I haven't used very many power tools, but the few times that I have, it's been a very satisfying experience.
Yeah, one of the best things about this experience is I've gotten to buy a whole bunch of new tools. We found, and I guess this will be tip number four for you, we had been renting hammer drills. We rented hammer drills when we put the closet together, and it costs like $35 for 4 hours, and then $50 for, you know, a full 8-hour day. Well, that gets to be real expensive. You can buy a pretty decent little Black & Decker hammer drill that'll actually get the job done for about $60, which is what I did, and then another maybe $25 for a decent bit set. So,
but it'll wear your arm out.
Yeah, it'll wear your arm out, but one of the reasons it wore my arm out so bad is because I was stupid and tried to go straight from the pilot hole into the bigger bit. If I had done it,
If you had followed tip number two.
Exactly. If I had drilled the holes progressively, it wouldn't have worn me out nearly as much as it did. So
good to know. Okay, moving right along.
Yeah.
Real quick, we're going to be going to Chicago at the end of July for Blog Her, and we're going to be there a couple extra days after the conference mm-hmm. is over. Going to see a Cubs game. We're going to go to the Museum of Surgical Sciences, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We're also going to go to the Museum of, I forget what it's called, Science and Industry or something. But the main thing is they have a baby chick hatchery there.
Chicks.
And that's what we really want to see. I mean, it looks like they have a lot of other cool stuff there, but mainly I want to see the baby chicks.
Yeah. Chickens are awesome.
So if you know of anything else that we should do in Chicago, let us know. Or if you're going to Blog Her, or if by some chance you live in Chicago and you're actually listening to this, let us know.
Yeah. There'll be a little tagline at the end letting you know how you can email us and
voicemail
call us.
And all that
good
stuff.
All that good stuff. So that leaves Amber needs a new computer.
I do need a new computer. Just, I mean, I don't know why I even put this on the list, because I don't really want anybody's advice on what kind of computer to buy, because I know what kind of computer I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy a MacBook. But I don't know. It's just kind of a big deal for me to buy a new computer, because I'm not good at spending big sums of money. It's a big deal to me, and I don't like it. But my iBook is 3.5 years old, and it served me well, but it's just gotten kind of sluggish, and I've run all the utilities on it and blah-de-blah, but it's just, you know, it's just getting up there. Mm-hmm. And I usually keep things until they absolutely die. Mm-hmm. But I think I might just have to bite the bullet and buy myself a MacBook before Blogger. Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to a conference that's new media focused, I probably should have a decent computer. Oh, and if you want to buy my old iBook, I mean, you can give it to your kid or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, sometimes it's useful to have a second computer, like as a backup sitting around. It would be fine as a backup.
It's not a bad
computer. It works.
Computer.
It's just slow.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's that. Now, as a little segue, we did put out the call over Twitter about 45 minutes ago saying that we were going to be recording a podcast tonight. So if you had any questions, to send a tweet. We only got one from Laura Ross, and she wants to know if Masons are involved in the global sex club conspiracy. And I think the answer is absolutely yes. And the reason for that is...
they're involved in every conspiracy.
Well, they build everything.
Yeah.
They build the sex clubs. And note, we're not talking about, like, Freemasons, because I could do a whole podcast talking about, like, the Illuminati and New World Order conspiracy and all that, but we're just talking about...
I had a relative who was a Mason, like a Mason.
Yeah, I have a friend who, I guess he's an acquaintance really more, but his grandfather was a 33rd level, which is like the highest
high crazy.
Wizard level. What? It just makes me think of The Simpsons when they're sitting around with their beer steins.
Yeah. The only thing I really know about it, honestly, is that somehow we came upon this Mason's watch that this relative had owned. And my dad had thought about giving it to me as a gift, but then he was like, no, those people don't fuck around.
No,
if they
see
don't. You wearing.
They'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
So, they might fuck me up just for talking about it. But I used to be really into conspiracy theories and stuff, and I have all these books. And
I'd like to read those books.
Those books, if you read much of them, like, they'll start to freak you out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've read a few of them, like the one Jen loaned me.
Just take it in small doses would be my recommendation. I also read these books when I was about 17.
Yeah.
Maybe I was more impressionable anyway. So moving on. Our last topic that's actually on the list, because the whole Freemason thing wasn't on the list. Tomorrow night we're going to a sex club, and I'm very excited about this.
As am I.
It's called Trapeze, and it's... like down near some industrial area. I thought for a minute that I had been there before, but now I realize I haven't because it seems to be much nicer than the sex club I went to before. Apparently they have a really good buffet, so that's good.
Yeah.
Now,
like a comically good buffet?
Well, I don't know, comically good, but just good. And that's good because I like good food. And it's kind of expensive to get in, so they better have good food.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, you know, apparently what I've heard from friends is that it doesn't really get going until like 1 or 2 in the morning. Why does everything have to start so late? Who decided that group sex can't start till 1 a.m.? You can have group sex any time of the day.
Yeah.
I don't understand these arbitrary...
You can have it at noon. You can have it at 9 in the morning, although I guess some people aren't morning people, so I can see why you wouldn't do it at 9.
I can't stay up that late, generally, so we'll have to take a nap beforehand. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say it's because I'm getting older, but I was never really good at staying up that late.
I used to be. I don't know what happened.
You got older.
I guess so.
So anyway, so this is the pre-sex club podcast, and we'll probably record another podcast at some point after we've gone, and we'll probably talk about our impressions and all that stuff. So I have high hopes, high expectations. Do you have anything to add? Expectations, hopes, dreams?
It's going to be fun to watch people fuck.
Yeah. We're just going to go to watch. People fuck, so that's actually probably better because then we don't have to worry about trying to
talk to people.
Which can be just difficult in general.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at just going up and talking to people, much less people that I want to fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bet you thought the sex club part of the podcast was going to be a lot more exciting than this.
Well, you know, I think that's a lot of people will sort of compartmentalize sex and make it out to be this thing that's much more exciting than it is, and really it's just one other part of life.
Yeah, I mean, which is not to say that sex is not exciting, because it's awesome and it's like the best thing ever, but it's just a part of life. No, I mean, really, like, it's not like, I mean, you're absolutely right with compartmentalizing. People are like, okay, here's like all the rest of my life, and then here's the sex part, and I can't tell anybody.
That's dirty.
Talk to anybody, and woo, and I'm making hand motions that you can't see right now.
Yeah.
To describe this compartmentalization. And we think that's stupid and
shitty. I agree. I don't know why someone who talks about sex on a blog occasionally can't be taken seriously the rest of the time.
That reminds me. I should say, Naked on the Internet is out. It's a book that my friend Audacia Ray wrote, and I'm quoted in it. And that's not the only reason you should read it. I mean, she actually did make me sound smart in the quotes that she used for me, which is good, because after PodCamp, the AP reporter used like the one stupid-sounding quote that I had and put that in the article.
But we loved that article. It was
but
great.
But we did love that article. Yeah. Do not get me wrong. Anyway, you should read Naked on the Internet. It's an awesome book about women's sexuality on how the internet is affecting it.
On the inner tubes.
On the interwebs. So anyway, I guess that's it. And don't worry, we will have a follow-up talking more about the sex club, and maybe it'll be more exciting, and I don't know if you listen to this expecting to be titillated with descriptions of
various and sundry and, expectations.
You know, and like, oh, then the cock went into the ass, and like, I don't know what you expect, but just tune in next time, because why the hell not?
Yep, why the hell not?
All right, I guess that's it. We'll see you next time.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.